You're listening to audio from North Monroe Baptist Church. To find out more about the church or donate to this ministry, visit northmonroe.com.
Good morning, everybody. You guys are all getting ready to get your sleigh packed and everything ready for Christmas as you're beginning to look forward to this beautiful season. But you know, we do something every year at the first week of December, we emphasize missions, and throughout our denomination, we focus on international missions. We take up a missions offering called the Lottie Moon Mission Offering, and that goes to fund the missionaries around the world. International Mission Board supports throughout the world, collectively all of our churches. But our church also supports missions in other ways, and one of my favorite things in the world is this weekend. Not only do I get the day off, which is awesome, you guys don't have to listen to me, which is probably awesome for you, but I get to hear Wade and Barbara Akins come back and share with us what God is doing through their lives. Now, you guys, if you don't know Wade and Barbara yet, Wade grew up in Bastrop, Louisiana, so he's just a one of us, Louisiana guy. Barbara, where at, Barbara? Texas. That's enough. Barbara's in Texas. Let's not even talk about that. And Wade went to Brazil with the International Mission Board. Before that, he was in Vietnam. You're going to hear some of that. And while he was there, his wife contracted a disease and passed away. Barbara was in Brazil doing missions as a non-married single woman, and God brought them together, and they've just continued to do missions around the world. Had spent about 20 years in Brazil, and after that, Wade had developed a training program called Pioneer Evangelism that is revolutionizing the way missions is done all around the world. It's hard for me, for you guys, if you haven't been on foreign soil with these guys, it's hard for me to fully describe how God uses them. But if I could bring the Apostle Paul back and set him out here, you'd get a pretty good look through Wade Akins of what he would look like. So Wade and Barbara, y'all come. Let's welcome them.
I don't know about that. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to open them to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. And it is in the Old Testament, very close to the book of Malachi. I'm going to be using that as a scripture. And I want to just say it's always a joy and a blessing and a real highlight of our year to come to North Monroe the first Sunday of December every year. We appreciate the pastor inviting us to come. We love him, his wife Amy, and this church very dearly, means so much to us. After the service, Barbara and I will be at our little mission booth. We'd love for you to come over there and see us. I have two books over there available. We don't make any money on them, but we make them available. Any proceeds will go to missions. One is about Islam. Now, I don't know if you know much about that religion, but I assure you, we all need to be very familiar with that religion. It is here in America. It's growing. It's going to get stronger and stronger, and most Americans have no idea what it's really about. I've written a book on it, a short book. Every chapter is very short, very practical, and explains all about Muhammad, Islam, Sharia law, the Quran. And the second half of the book teaches you how to share your faith with a Muslim, how to talk to them when you meet them. And there are many things you don't know about Islam. Muhammad is their prophet, and most Muslims do not know who he is or much about him. You probably did not know that when he was 50 years old, he married a 7-year-old girl. And that's why you have a lot of child marriages over in the Middle East and so forth. There's so much to learn, and that's in that book. Also, I have a book on the Lordship of Christ. You know, we become a believer, but we've got to live the Christian life. And that's called Be a 24/7 Christian. It's packed with stories like I tell. It's a fast page-turning book, and they're out there, as well as our newsletter sign-up sheet. Before I bring the message, I want Barbara to come. We had a team from this church to come to Africa with us to the nation of Tanzania, led by your missions pastor, Brother David Mack, and they had an incredible, incredible impact there, as your church always does. Barbara's going to come and share with you a little bit about that. Then I'll come back and bring the message. Barbara?
As Wade said, we just want to thank you for the incredible impact that you had in Tanzania this year. Tanzania is in the southeast corner, really, of Lake Victoria. It's the second or third largest lake in the world. And there in Tanzania, where we minister, is the northern part of Tanzania, from the furthest west point to the furthest east point around that lake. And you see there on the map, Mwanza is the major city, and just west of Mwanza is a little town called Geita. Well, it's not so little. Geita is pretty big. That's where we spent the night, but every day we drove an hour down the road to a little community called Bwanga to do what we call an impact ministry. And one of the things we do that makes such a great impact is we give away reading glasses. Now, the people come in, the first day they don't really believe that we're going to give them something free. But once they start seeing that people really get free glasses, they come in. So we gave around over 800 reading glasses. Well, they come in, and as they wait, we give a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of these people are pagans, they're spiritists, they worship their spirits, they're mediators, they're atheists, and they come in and maybe for the first time they hear the presentation of the gospel. Now, many of you are younger, some of you not, but you don't understand what happens to you when you get 45 and you start having to push that book away and you can't read little letters. Well, these people that are 50, 60, 70 years old, they have not been able to read for years. Not even pastors can't even see the written word in their Bibles. So after the waiting room and the presentation of the gospel, they go, and we have these charts that have different size lettering. They read one of those, and that tells us what strength of glasses they need. And we help them with that until they're able to actually read. The impact is incredible that that has on a community. Another great need is for the women. Women out in the interior, they're really just forgotten. They spend their days walking miles to get water, to wash clothes, to cook with, walking all around getting firewood to be able to cook for their families. And they're just a forgotten people. And so y'all went and you did a women's conference. We brought these women in, and what a special time for them, that we noticed them, that we spent time with them, that we loved on them and taught them about the women in the Bible. And they just shared and had special needs. It was a special time for them. Another thing that we do is we go to the schools and we take soccer balls, and if you take a soccer ball in, you can get into any school. They just let you in. And so we're able to share the gospel there as well. And again, the students are pagans, they're spiritists, they're Muslims, all kinds of walks of life and religions, and they get to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. And the last thing that we do is we do a men's conference. As we've had this incredible growth that Wade was talking about, over 47,000 baptisms, you can imagine the growth of the churches. And the leaders out there, they have no training. So we've started 23 Bible schools where we can train those leaders. And every time we go in, we bring all the leaders of all the churches of that association in so that we can train them. And this year, y'all taught them the book of Ephesians. And we just want you to know that we glorify and we praise God for your church and the vision that you have to reach the world for Jesus Christ.
Your pastor, Brother Bill, wrote those lessons on Ephesians that Brother Mac taught. And not only that, but we've translated them into several languages and spread them all around the world, in the Bengali language in India, as well as Swahili, and Kirwanda, Burundi, and Luganda, and other language, Mari language as well. And so all of our leaders throughout the world are using that book on Ephesians to train their people in that particular book, because that is a great book. The first three chapters teach you what to believe, and the last three tell you how to live. So you learn how to what to believe, and you learn how to behave, the doctrinal and the ethical. And it is a tremendous book, and your pastor has written that whole lesson, every verse by verse, and it is tremendously being used in all of our Bible schools. We have over 1,400 students in Bible schools now across East Africa, and that's one of the main courses that we teach there in all of our schools, and we have the book distributed to pastors and leaders throughout the world. And it's always a joy for Brother David Mack to go and your pastor and teach that to our leaders around the world. Zechariah chapter 4, we have a vision by this prophet. I've been studying the minor prophets for the first time in depth. I've always, we read those things, and I've said, I want to really get into it. So I've studied them verse by verse. And when I came to this particular book in chapter 4, God just really spoke to me about this particular passage. It has a real special meaning to me, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. Let's look at this in verse 1. This is the fifth vision. The angel who talked with me returned and woke me up. He evidently fell asleep right in the middle of the sermon that the Lord was preaching to him. He got to wake up, and he said, a man is woke from his sleep, and he asked me, what do you see? I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it with seven channels to the lights, and there are two olive trees by it, one on the right and one on the left of the bowl. Now, I had a hard time picturing this in my mind, so I Googled it, and this is what came up. And this makes it really, really clear. Here is the candlestick, as you can, lampstand, the gold lampstand. And then there are seven lights. And these lights are get the oil by seven pipes. And right behind the tree, right beside the lampstand, are two olive trees. Now look in verse 4. I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, Lord? Verse 5, do you not know what these are? No, I do not, I replied. And verse 6 is what I want to share with you today. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. 50 years ago, last April, I was appointed, it seems like yesterday, by what we used to call the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. It's called the International Mission Board, the IMB now. I was appointed to be a missionary 50 years ago. I've been a missionary now for 50 years. Gone by fast, young people, gone by fast. Back 50 years ago in 1968, we had a war going on. It was called the Vietnam War. It was a bloody, violent war. I signed up to go as a chaplain, but they turned me down because of my right eye and my vision or something. I don't know. But that was the Lord's way of directing me in another direction. And God sent me there through the IMB to Vietnam as a missionary. And the only weapon I had was this one, the sword of the Lord. And I lived there during the war, preaching the gospel, lived among the people. And one of the first things you must do when you go to a foreign country as a missionary is learn the language. Now, Vietnamese is totally different from English. I mean, there is nothing like it, no similarities at all. It is a tonal language. Now, by that I mean, every word you say, you not only must say the word, but you got to hit the right tone. And I'm not able to sing much, and I think I'm about half tone deaf. And that created a big challenge for me. And I'll explain what I mean by that. You take the word M-A, Ma. And what they did to me was they sent me down to a little old village called Bang Oi, put me up in a French hotel. And this place was very primitive. Slept under a mosquito net, no air conditioning, no fan, hot, 100 degrees at night. One morning I got up, put my pants on, and a big old rat come running out of my britches leg. That's how primitive it was. And every day a tutor would come up and he's going to teach me the Vietnamese language. Take the word ma, M-A. You go, ma? I believe, if I remember right, that means horse. Ma means devil. Same word, ma, rice, or you can go down and up real fast. Ma, that's mother, and ma is the conjunction, but. So if you're not careful, you'll call somebody's mother a devil and you're really in trouble. And I did that all the time. How's your devil doing today? I was there about a month, and then they sent me to, the mission sent me to the city of Da Trang, South Vietnam. And I said, you know, I'm going to learn to preach the gospel and share Christ. I may not know what a wrench is, but I'm going to know how to tell people to be saved. So I wrote out a sermon, explained that there's a creator God that loves you. And then I went to the Ten Commandments and explained that we've broken the laws of God, and there's a separation between God and man, and God wants to have a relationship with you and for you to live with Him in heaven forever. And the only way He could do that is sin must be paid for, and there's only one payment for sin that God will accept. It's not your good life. It's death by blood. And Christ came and died on the cross to pay for our sins. And then He was buried, and 3 days later He rose from the dead. He is alive right now, and He wants to come and live in your heart. And if you'll turn your life over to Him and surrender your life to Him, He'll forgive you of your sins, and He'll write your name in the book of life. And I put all of that in that one sermon. And I knew then I could talk about Christ to anybody, anywhere, anytime. So I began to practice. And I preached that sermon, I don't know how many hours, 50, 100, 150 hours, to the wall of that little apartment where I was. And I preached that wall and preached that wall day after day, week after week, month after month. I've often said, if there's a wall saved in Vietnam, that wall is saved. I can tell you. After about 6 months, I said, I'm ready to preach at the mission. We had a little mission called Phu Khai Mission right behind the Nha Trang Air Force Base. I said, I'm going to practice, though, get ready. Before I go to preach at the mission, I'm going to get practice a little bit. So I brought my two friends up. They sat right there on the two chairs. I said, boys, I'm going to practice the sermon before I go down to the mission and preach. I want you to listen to it. Make sure it's okay. And I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not joking. I'm not even, no exaggeration. After I preached the first sentence, first one, both of those boys fell on the floor, physically falling on the floor, laughing because my Vietnamese was so bad. Man, that was humiliating. I knew I had to go back to that wall and preach some more. I preached another 3 months to that wall. And after 9 months, I said, I'm ready. I went out to the Phu Khai Mission. Place was jam-packed. People never heard the gospel before. Animistic background, Buddhist background. No nursery. The ladies just brought their babies in there and nursed them and crying and everything going on. Right behind the Air Force base, these jet airplanes just flying off their bomber missions. Boom, 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 boom. Babies crying. Here I am preaching. Mama, ma, mama, ma, 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 ma. At the end of the sermon, I gave an invitation. I said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, there's no such thing as coming forward. I said, just stand up. No choir, no music, no nothing. Just stand up. Now, that took a lot of courage. And they're shy anyway. And no one stood up. And I bowed my head. This is 50 years ago. And I prayed this prayer. I said, God, forgive me for being such a failure. And when I finished praying that prayer, I looked up. And a woman had stood up, and she said out loud to the whole church, I want to give my life to Jesus. Praise God. And when I went back to that little apartment, God spoke to my heart. And He taught me a lesson that I've never, ever forgotten, and I needed to learn it on the front end of my mission career. And that is this. He brought this verse to me. I have no idea why. I don't know if I'd ever read it before. I didn't know anything about it. But here's what God said to me 50 years ago, going back to that little old place where I was in Vietnam, in Nha Trang, Vietnam, 1968. He said this, "It is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." And God said to me, it is not going to be through your personality. It's not going to be through your charisma. It's not going to be through great preaching. It is by my power and my spirit as I work in you and through you. Wade, you can do nothing for me. It's me doing everything in and through you. I want us to look at this passage. Go back and look at it. I see a gold lampstand. Jesus tells us in the book of Revelation what that represents. That represents the church. That means you and you and you and you and you. If you know Christ, then you're a part of the body of Christ. You may be a Baptist, a Methodist, Assembly of God, Pentecostal, speak in tongues, you don't speak in tongues, a Methodist, Anglican, Episcopal, it doesn't matter. If you know Christ, you are in the body of Christ. And you're a part of the lampstand of God. Then he said, there's a bowl at the top. And in that bowl, there's oil. And there are seven lights on this lampstand. Now, the Bible teaches that Jesus is the light of the world. Amen? And we, you and I, are the little lights. And I want to share something with you here. Our world is getting darker and darker and darker. It just seems like evil has just taken over the whole world. Now, you can read about that in the Bible. Because the Bible says this is all going to take place. But let me give you some good news. We don't live for this world. We don't live for this kingdom. We live for the kingdom of God. And the darker the world gets, the lot brighter the light shines. Because people are going to be looking for truth and relevancy and purpose and meaning. And they're going to be looking at light, looking for light. And Jesus says, you are the light in a world of darkness. And so what he's got here is a candlestick representing the body of Christ, which are the lights of Christ. And what that means is God has given every one of us a mission. I want to ask you a question today, a personal question that only you can answer. Since you have been saved, do you realize that God saved you and has called you to do a mission on this earth? And you are either a sitter or a server. Which is it? I can assure you, regardless of your vocation, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer, housewife, school teacher, plumber or mechanic or electrician, those are your vocations. But God has called you for an eternal mission to be a light in this world. If this all there was to just being saved was just getting saved, if that was it, you know what would happen? The day you got saved, He'd have just called you right on home. You'd have just died that day and gone to heaven. But He left you here. And the reason He left you here is He has a mission for each of you. What is your mission? God has a mission for you. And not only has He given you a mission, a calling to a mission, but He's given you the power to do it. You see those two olive trees? They supply the bowl with oil. Now, back in the old days, in the tabernacle days, in the Old Testament, the priest would walk into the tabernacle, and every day he'd light those little lights. But what he's saying here is, You no longer need that because these olive trees are going to supply a perpetual, eternal supply of oil in that bowl. And what he's saying is this, and I've asked this question all over the world to thousands and thousands and thousands of pastors. How many of you, and leaders, how many of you believe in that Jesus died for your sins? And everybody raises their hand. How many of you believe he was buried? They raise their hand. How many of you believe that he rose from the dead on the third day? And they raise their hand. I said, how many of you believe it? He went back to heaven and he's preparing a place for you right now? And they all raise their hand. And then here's the next question. Then how can he, Jesus, be in heaven and in your heart at the same time? And here's the answer. You may not have known it. You may not have realized it. These are things we learn later. But what happened was this. When you gave your life to Christ, it was the Holy Spirit of God that came into your spirit and your soul. And he lives in you. He inhabits you. He indwells you. And he wants to control you. And he has filled you with himself to give you power to do his ministry. And oil is a symbol in the Bible of the Holy Spirit of God. There's nothing magical about it. It breaks my heart to see on American television, and also a lot of these African pastors have picked up on it in Africa, and they come on and they sell this holy oil. Give us a gift, we'll send you a bottle of holy oil. Let me tell you, that's nothing but magic. Superstition, magic. That's of the devil, that's evil. There's no magic in the oil. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, one time when I was a missionary serving up in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., I had a real close friend, an African-American pastor named Chester McDonald. And one day I was over there at his church visiting with him with two of my friends, and we were just talking, and all of a sudden, Brother Chester looked at me and he said, Brother Wade, do you believe in anointing someone with oil, praying for them? Well, I'd never done that before, but it's in the Bible. So I said, sure, I believe it's in the Bible. He says, I have a lady here that has a real need for prayer, and she just came and she wants us to pray for her and anoint her with oil. I said, sure, I'll do that. So she came in, and she had just arrived from the hair salon place. Had a hair done, I guess $25, $30, $40. Beautiful lady with all her hair nice. And the pastor made a big mistake. He handed me a bottle of oil. So we all bow our heads and start praying, and I'd never done it before, and I didn't know what to do. So he told me to anoint her with oil, and I went right out there like that. Next guy prayed, still had oil in there, and I just dumped it out there. And the third guy prayed, dumped it on more. And then the Pastor McDonald, you know how he prayed. He just got to praying, 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 praying. And I just kept dumping, 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 dumping. And when we got through praying, man, and Pastor Chester, he looked up. He went, oh, my goodness, get a towel. Totally destroyed this lady's hair, dude. The next Sunday, I was preaching down in Richmond, Virginia. One of my colleagues I went to seminary with, and at the conclusion of all of his service, he's a Baptist guy, but at the conclusion of every service, he always asked people, if you've got a disease or need healing or whatever, come on down here, and I'm going to anoint you with oil and pray for you. And there would be a long line of people prayed for him, and he just went up there, and he had a bottle of oil, and he just did like that, and he touched him right there. And I said, oh, that's the way you're supposed to do that. It's a symbol. And what he's saying here is this. I have put my spirit in your heart. And I have given you a mission to accomplish. And you are a light. You're supposed to be a server on mission and not a sitter. He didn't put His Spirit in you to sit. God's given us a mission. When I was in seminary, I learned one thing from my preaching class. Every sermon has to have it. You can have as many points as you want, but you got to have at least one. I only got one point in a sermon. And that is, there's power in ministry. Because God has put His Spirit in you, and He's given you a ministry. First of all, I want to say that all ministry begins in your heart. I could preach to all day long till my tongue falls on the ground as hard as I want. I could never, ever convince you to get involved in ministry. It comes from God. And I want to challenge every one of you today to go to God in prayer and ask God this one question. God, what ministry do you want me to serve in? What is it? And let God speak to you. When God speaks, you obey. When God speaks, you hear. And I can promise you, God has something for everybody. And secondly, it reaches to Jerusalem. Now, what is Jerusalem? Jerusalem, in our case right here, is Monroe, Louisiana. You know, getting on an airplane and going to Africa does not make you a missionary. You become one starting right here. I was raised, as the pastor said, over in Bastrop, Louisiana, right down the road. I began as a teenage boy preaching in the jails of Bastrop. And that's where I began, right where I was. God has a place for you in this church, North Monroe Baptist Church. It starts with your tithes and offerings. When you give a dollar to this church, a portion of that dollar, all of it goes to the work of this church, and a portion of that dollar goes to missions and expands the gospel throughout the whole world. And I've often wondered, how in the world can you trust God with your soul and you cannot trust Him with your money? Tithing has nothing to do with money. It's all about trust. Can you trust God? And God's given you a ministry right here in Monroe. There are many things you can do. I got a cousin. I was with him just the other day. He's a little older than I am. You know what his ministry is? He's a layman. He goes to the nursing home every day. Almost every day. And I said to him, I said, Lanny, I said, I bet you there are a lot of people in those nursing homes that never get a visit from anybody. He said, Wade, you won't believe it. He said, there are people in those nursing homes who have family in their same town. They live in the same town, and they never get a visit from their own family. There's jails, there's nursing homes. There's many things in this church that you can do. Do you have a mission? Do you have a ministry? Then it extends to the whole world. It goes to all the world. Barbara and I are working in about 11 different nations right now. In 2010, we went to the nation of Rwanda. She told you about Tanzania. Rwanda's on the eastern side of the Lake Victoria. We were invited there by a young man named Justin and his beautiful wife, Anne. And I believe they came to this church a couple of months ago. Well, let me tell you the backstory real quick. I'll make it quick. When we first met him, he was a broken man. He had just gotten out of jail. The government had put him in jail because he had winning other people to the Lord. And since this year, they've closed 6,000 churches just in the city of Kigali. He had Barbara and I over to his house. It was a dark little room, no electricity. And he told us his story. And we'd just trained them how to win people to Jesus, make disciples, and plant churches. And he looked at me that night and he says, I'm going to do what you taught us to do. That was 8 years ago. And today, he started with zero back then. And today, Justin has 8,150 baptized believers in his church. And you have a big part in that. We did a pioneer evangelism training, and your church sends teams out there with us, David Mack and Joy Young and others, and we train their leaders. Next month we're going, and this, can you imagine? We're going to have 250 new pastor leaders to train that weren't there last year. That's how fast they're growing. We've started Bible schools throughout the nation, throughout all of East Africa. We have over 1,400 students in our Bible schools. And we're training them in pioneer evangelism to make disciples and plant churches. We're seeing one of the greatest harvests ever. In Tanzania alone, we've seen over 47,000 baptisms. In all of East Africa, we've seen over 67,000 people baptized in the last decade. And you are an integral part of all of that. And I want to say thank you, North Monroe. One of the big problems we got out there is dirty water. Dirty water. When you got up this morning, brushed your teeth, and drank water, you thought nothing about it. You drink water out there, and your stomach's going to get bloated. You're going to have malnutrition. You're going to have diseases that you never heard of. Children die. That's why these women get up and walk 4, 5, 6 miles to a well, get a bucket of water, and come home. We don't have to do that in America. We're the most privileged nation in the world. It breaks my heart when I hear people complain about our country after being out there. And so we've started, we have a water filter ministry. We've got a water filter factory there. For $70, we build a little water filter. Give it away. Give it away to people who are pagans, ancestor worshipers, Muslims, non-believers. They make the water filters in a little place. We have sand and rock. They'll last forever. Just change the sand and rock. And then the families receive all the water filter. We've already given over 480 water filters away. And that is one way we're reaching the Muslims to Christ. Here's a picture of a Muslim family. The lady there is Amisha. When they got the water filter, we always ask them, would you like to have a Bible study, the good news of Jesus study, 7 lessons on Matthew that teaches them who Christ is and how to become a believer in Christ? And she said, I'll do that, but she had to do it secretly. Because you see, in the Muslim faith, if you convert, Muhammad says, kill you. And you can't do that in America, but in many other countries of the world, it's a death penalty if you leave the religion of Islam. Cut their head off. And so she met secretly. And she learned the story of Christ and learned what it meant to be saved and be born again. And she gave her life to Jesus. Her life so radically changed. She didn't even tell her husband. Scared to death. Scared to. But he said, what happened to you? What happened to you? Tell me. What has happened to you? And she finally broke down and said, well, I went to the little good news study and I invited Christ in my life. He says, I want those studies too. And he came to know Christ. And some time ago, I preached in a little house church. We got over 400 of them scattered all over the nation. And a Muslim house church. They're reaching Muslims for Christ. And we're doing it through the water filter ministry because we're showing God's love in a practical way. And let me say this. If God can save a man like that, change his life and give him peace and joy and eternal life and forgiveness of sin, he can change your life. I want to ask you today, have you given your life to Christ? Are your sins forgiven? Has your life been changed by the Spirit and power of God? Is your name in the eternal book of life? Today you can give your life to Christ. You say, how do I do it? Jesus said in Mark 1:15, two things. Repent, that means turn. Realize you're a sinner and turn. And faith. What is that? That means to surrender your life to Him. And when you turn to Christ, Surrender your life to Him. The Spirit of God will come into your heart and He'll forgive you of your sins and He will write your name in the book of eternal life and the Holy Spirit will change your life from the inside out. And you can do that today. You can pray and invite Christ into your life. And if you've done that already, I want to ask you a question. What is your mission? Can you say what your mission is? If not, would you ask God in prayer right now, God, show me my mission. And I commit to be on mission for you and let my light shine until the day I die. Let's pray. If you want to receive Christ, it's prayer that does not save, it's Jesus. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my life right now. And be my Lord, my Master, my Savior. If you've already been saved, would you just ask the Lord, God, show me my mission. Show me my mission. And I commit. Serving you.
Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word and for the promise of power. I thank you that when we embrace Christ by faith, we're filled with your Spirit. And you give us all the power we ever need to do all the work you ever call us to do. Sometimes we worry that we don't have what it takes. Thank you, Father, for Wade reminding us that it's not about us. And so help us, God, to be willing and available. Father, I pray for those that have just received Christ as their Savior. Help them to take that next step and to tell somebody about it. And we thank you for Jesus, our Lord. In Christ's name, amen.